Well, good morning. My name is Andy. I've been at Carmichael Bible Church for going on 12 years, I believe. I am one of the elders here. Being an elder, we are asked to teach once in a while, and this is out of my comfort zone, so this might be one of the shortest Sunday morning messages that you ever get to experience. I want to recap. We've been going through the life of Joseph. If you've been here at all, we've been going through this for a while, and just a quick overview of who Joseph is. I start off by recapping Joseph's life. From the time that Joseph was a little boy, he was born into what we would call a dysfunctional family. And if Ann will put up some slides for me, I want you guys to look at this family tree of Abraham. The blue represents the men. The red represents the women. The dashes represent spouses. And arrows represent children. So the first one, you can see that there were several dads who had many wives. And if you roll it over to the next one, Ann, you see Jacob had four wives. And just look at the tie-in there. That's kind of a dysfunctional family. Jacob had 13 children and four wives. But Joseph didn't see this as a dysfunctional family. This was just life to him. I don't think he knew that his brothers or sisters were had any animosity against him because of the way his dad treated him. So when Joseph told the story, the dreams that he had regarding his brothers bowing down to him, it was all innocent on Joseph's part. Joseph was... What brother was he? He was number 11. Joseph was just telling a dream that he had. His brothers didn't see it that way. His brothers were very frustrated with him to the point to where they wanted to kill Joseph. But instead of killing him, they chose to sell him into slavery. And because of that, a lot of things happen in Joseph's life. They didn't kill him. They sold him into slavory. And because of how his dad showed favoritism to him, Joseph ended up enduring 20 years plus away from a family that he truly loved, that he just wanted to be a part of. And in that 20-year period, Joseph became the head of Potiphar's household. And in that period of time, he was accused of coming on to Potiphar's wife. And because of that, which he didn't do, it was Potiphar's wife that came on to him, he wound up being put in prison for 13 years. And in that 13 years, Joseph became the jailer's right-hand man. They went to him. Joseph kept his focus on God. 13 years later, at this time, let me see here. And because of how Joseph's dad showed favoritism to him, Joseph endured 20 years plus in prison. He was accused of coming on to Potiphar's wife. When he got out of prison, he was basically made the prime minister of Egypt. So 20-something years later, with all the famine that had taken place, Joseph's brothers came up, and guess what happened? Joseph's dreams came true. His brothers bowed down before him. Joseph didn't express immediately who he was, so his brothers didn't know it. And Joseph was so overwhelmed to be reunited with his family, he could hardly contain himself. He loved his family so much that he wanted to take care of them, and he did. No matter what the Egyptian people thought about people from Canaan, Joseph still loved them. And they thought, people from Egypt thought that herdsmen were just really low-life people. And that didn't bother Joseph. He took care of his family. So that brings us to Genesis 47, and this is 1 through 12. Joseph went and told Pharaoh, "My father and my brothers, with their flocks and herds and everything they own, have come to the land of Canaan and are now in Goshen." He chose 5 of his brothers and presented them before Pharaoh. Pharaoh asked the brothers, "What are your occupations?" "Your servants are shepherds," they replied to Pharaoh, "just as our fathers were." They also said to him, "We have come to live here for a while because of the famine is so severe in Canaan, and your servants' flocks have no pastures. So now, please let your servants settle in Goshen." Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Your father and your brothers have come to you, and the land of Egypt is before you. Settle your father and your brothers in the best part of the land. Let them live in Goshen. And if you know any among them with special ability, put them in charge of my own livestock." Then Joseph brought his father Jacob in and presented him before Pharaoh. After Jacob blessed Pharaoh, Pharaoh asked him, "How old are you?" And Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The years of my pilgrims are 130. My years have been few and difficult, and they do not equal the years of the pilgrim of my fathers." Then Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from his presence. So Joseph settled his father and his brothers in Egypt and gave them the property in the best part of the land, the district of Ramesses, as Pharaoh directed. Joseph also provided his father and his brothers and all his father's household with food according to the number of their children. I have to tell you that when Kurt approached me, it was, I believe, at our leadership retreat, and presented the teaching aspect of this year, he asked if I would speak for Father's Day and told me the passage. And I accepted to speak because I knew it was part of what God had asked me to do. As being an elder, I'm supposed to do this. So I said yes, reluctantly, I'll be honest with you. I started reading this passage, and I was stumped. I had no clue what this was talking about. I went to Cindy, and I said, "You need to read this and see if you can help me understand this." And she was stumped. So several months went by. In that period of time, The entire leadership team here has attempted for several years to go to a conference together, and we couldn't do it as a complete team up until this year. In May, we went to a Thrive conference, and again, I have to be a little honest here. I was not overly enthused about going to a conference for a couple of days. So I said yes. I got there, and they had a bunch of breakout classes. And I hadn't signed up for one breakout class because I wasn't real excited about being there in the first place. So I'm standing there, and there's a wall that's probably these chairs wide, and there are 4x8 sheets of plywood, and there's classes, and they range all the way up through here. And I'm standing there, and I'm just overwhelmed because I have no clue what it is I'm going to go to. So I'm asking God to direct the path he wants me to go through. And if you don't know, I don't think I mentioned it, I'm in charge of the men's ministries here. So my first class was leading men's ministries effectively. The second class was, as I moved down, was legacy. And that's always been huge for me, legacy. The third class, I got heckled by my fellow leadership team. It was a class on Got Sex. And the fourth class was another one about leading leading small groups. Well, the first class I went to, just struck a chord with me that it is so important that men learn to step up to the plate and be the men that God has called you to be. He wants you to be a leader. You're called to be the leader. If you're not leading your family, then you're missing the mark. End result. The legacy class, I'll skip over. The Got Sex class really played right in line with that. It talked about stuff in the legacy class. And the legacy class really talked all about, we have an opportunity to either be products of our environment or to change the past, make the future what you want to make it. And that's when God really revealed to me in my own life that that's where Joseph's life became very personal to me. The history that he had growing up, a mixed family. And I realized that there were things that I had to go and get right that I never, ever realized that I was holding on to until I went through these classes. And I needed to extend forgiveness to my own family and give it to God. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my testimony. I attended church with my mom as a little boy. My dad didn't go to church at the time. I think around 7 or 8, I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. And at that time, we were still living as a family, mom and dad, and 2 older brothers. But there were still troubles in our family. And a couple years had gone by, and my mom and dad wound up getting a divorce, and they set the 3 boys down at a table, and we were asked who we wanted to live with. And I specifically remember, Andy, who do you want to live with, mom and dad? How does a 9 or 10 year old boy choose between mom and dad? You just can't do that. And I said, where if my brothers go, I go. So we decided to live with my mom, and probably 6 months went by, and we got dropped off at my dad's house, and my mom never picked us back up. She just couldn't handle 3 boys on her own, and so we now are living with my dad. And my dad was, just because of his life, his legacy, was a tough individual, straightforward, didn't pull any punches. And so at a very young age, the 3 of us learned how to live just like my dad did. And a couple years went by. My older brother had gotten into trouble, wound up going into the service. So it was just me and my 2nd brother, living with my dad. He had gotten remarried, so I had a stepmom, a stepbrother, and 2 stepsisters. About a year into this, my brother couldn't handle what was going on, so he left and went to live with my mom. So I'm the only one there with a stepfamily that wasn't real fond of me, because I knew the things that my dad did like and didn't like, so I did my best to hide the things that he didn't like. I still did them, but he didn't see them. And my stepbrothers and sisters used to get in trouble all the time, so my stepmom decided that it was her job to find things wrong with me and tell my dad about them. And you know, she found those things because I was doing things wrong. And at one point, she had found some stuff. Oddly enough, you'll laugh at this. She found a pot plant in the upper corner behind a bunch of things. And the pot plant wasn't mine, to be honest with you. It was a friend of mine. He was going on vacation. I told him I'd take care of it. And that sounds like a story, but it's the truth. So my stepmom finds this plant, and I'm working with my dad. He owns his own painting business, and we come home from work, and I'll come walking in, and on the dining room table, there's this pot plant about this tall. And it was not for medicinal purposes, for medical purposes, I should say. So there started a whole new scenario. I was grounded for life, and to be honest with you, according to my dad, I'm still grounded. But living in a home like this, where my dad worked all the time, and where a step family wasn't real fond of me, I started looking through some of my dad's things, and I found some pornography magazines. And I was early teens, because I only worked with my dad during the summertime, so this was school time. And as a young boy, that intrigued me. And for a very long time, I allowed those magazines to be a part of who I was. And once I got a little older, I started drinking a little bit. Had a pretty serious drinking problem. I didn't think it was as bad as it was. Fast forward a little bit, those things stayed with me for a very long time. I met my wife Cindy. We started attending church. I covered things up for a long time. Even while I was going to church, I was justifying some of the things that I was still doing. And I hadn't been sold out yet. Got out of church for about 7 years. My two older boys got into some trouble. Cindy's dad wound up getting leukemia, laying in the hospital. This is a man that was a self-made man, was, for all intents and purposes, a man that showed love to his family. His kids never questioned whether or not he loved them, but he didn't have a relationship with Christ. And laying in bed, in the hospital bed, he was told that he had two choices: to go home and live 4 to 16 weeks because the leukemia was so severe in his body that he would die, or choose to start going through chemo, which because of his age could kill him also. And that evening, his son led him to Christ. Said he needed to get his spiritual life in order because he knew that death was real, that there was only two places, heaven and hell. And Cindy had gone home with her brother to the house that she grew up in, and I laid in bed that night about 11:30, and I knew that I needed to change things in my life. I had tried to change those things by myself, but I couldn't change them. And at this time, I was still dealing with some pornography issues, and the drinking was pretty bad. I told God that you just have to accept me for who I am. I can't change. If you want these things gone, then you're going to have to take them away from me. That next morning, I got up out of bed. It was a Sunday morning. And my normal routine was to do my yard work. After my yard work was done, I would come in. My son's laughing at me.
I'd come in, and you know, around noon, 12:31, I'd grab a beer and I'd start drinking it. And I opened that beer and I took a drink of it because it was nice and cold, and it was just that fast. The taste of beer was absolutely disgusting. And I am only sitting here telling you this because of the grace of God, and only because of God. He took that stuff away from me. I do not have issues with pornography, and it's because of God. But it's not that those temptations never come back, but guess what? I've learned how to stay the course. I've learned that life still comes at me. And if I try to do these things on my own, guess what? I fail. And I fail hard. So as a man, I'm sitting here telling you, the only way we will ever overcome the struggles in our life is by surrendering wholeheartedly to God. And those are just two things in my life that I wanted to share with you, because I think that those are two things that a lot of men struggle with, that are afraid that they're the only ones that struggle with them. Well, guys, there's more men that struggle with pornography than anything else. Sad truth is, there's stats that say when there's men's conferences in towns that they don't live in, that weekend there's more pornography sold at that hotel than any other weekend. So how real are men being? They're being phony. And it's seen, guys. Your wives can see through you. If you're struggling with things, allow God to be your main focus. And don't just think that just because you got over it and you feel good today that it's all good, because it's not. It comes back and we stumble because we're human. We stumble and we fall, and God accepts us for that. But He wants us to cry out to Him. And if that means second by second, then do it second by second. So where am I here? To back up a little bit, my growing up with my dad and my stepfamily, my dad really never knew the pain that I suffered as a kid, because I didn't want to hurt his feelings. I knew that he was a man just trying to do the right thing. He was just doing what he was taught as a boy, and it worked in his life. He was pretty successful, and he's still around. He lives in Colorado. So I don't blame my dad for that. But it made me understand that my oldest brother, our relationship, has always been best friends. Most of you guys have met my older brother. He has spoke here several times. I just love him to death. Our middle brother, there's always been tension there. And after going through this, I kind of understand, because at one point, throughout the years, unbeknownst to me, my dad had expressed that I was his favorite child. And, so the life of Joseph really rang true to me after some things had been brought out. Even to this day, when I try to have close conversations with my middle brother, there seems to be just tension there. But God's not done with us yet. I know that. I commented, I would really love to just to put all my past in a box and burn it. But that's not what God wants. And He doesn't want you to do that. Your past is your past. If it's not a good one, then change it. He wants people to know, God wants people to know that He's still in the business of changing lives. And I'm here to tell you that He has changed my life drastically. Growing up, I knew that I didn't want to raise my kids the way that I was raised. And mind you, just like Joseph, he loved his dad unconditionally, and I loved my dad unconditionally. But there were things in my past that I just refused to move forward, to carry on. And because of God, I have changed that course. My wife and I are celebrating 25 years of marriage in December, and she's a fantastic woman. As we learned long ago when we began the study of Joseph, Joseph's family was a very dysfunctional family. There was rampant sin, open hatred, favoritism, and wickedness of every kind. But the story teaches us that there is hope for the home. There is a future for the family. And we can change our legacy. It's within us. And through God, we can change the bad things. One of my points is don't play the blame game. Experience the freedom of forgiveness. We cannot blame our parents for what they did or didn't do. They were taught just like we've been taught. So if you have to call and forgive them for anything they did, then you just need to do it. And I just did that with my parents. After this conference, I really felt the need to call my mom and dad. And about a week and a half ago, because I procrastinated, I finally called my dad, and it kind of blew me away because my brother had just left there. I called him and said hello, and he said, "Hey, you finally made it home." And I said, "Well, this is Andy." And he said, "Oh, I thought it was Matt." And he said, "No, Andy." And I said, "No, Andy." And he said, "Oh, your ears must have been burning. I was just talking about how you've been my favorite son all this time." And you know, knowing what I was calling him for, it was just amazing how God works. And so I was, I went outside my backyard and I sat down and we had a little bit of small talk. And then I had to tell him the reason I was calling. And I cried like a little baby. Because it was so real to me, this story. And I forgave my dad for the things that he did. And there's a sense of freedom there now, that the past is still there, but I'm no longer struggling with it. And when I called my mom, she had no clue that there was frustrations there, because I refused to hold it against them, because I knew that they never did what they did on purpose. They did it because that was the only thing they knew how to do. And Joseph did the same thing. He could have been pretty bitter, but he was able to extend love, acceptance, and forgiveness to his entire family. A little quote out of a book: "Forgiveness is a choice. It is not a feeling. So don't try and feel forgiving. It is an act of the will. Don't wait to forgive until you feel like forgiving. You will never get there. Feelings take time to heal after the choice to forgive is made. We allow God to bring the hurt up from the past
For if your forgiveness doesn't visit the emotional core of your life, it will be incomplete. We acknowledge that it hurts, that it matters, and we choose to extend forgiveness to our father, our mother, and those who hurt us. This is not saying it doesn't really matter, or I probably deserved part of it anyways. Forgiveness says it was wrong. It mattered. It hurt me deeply. But I release you. I give you to God. It might help to remember that those who hurt you were also deeply wounded themselves. And that's a quote from the book Captivating. And that book is a book that was written before for men called Tender Warrior. If you men haven't read Tender Warrior, I encourage you to. And if you women haven't read Captivating, I encourage you to read that one. There's a couple of women here that have read it and have been renewed in their walk. Point two. Do create your story. A call to action. Your legacy belongs to you. Make a choice to change it or to protect it. If you have a good legacy, then stand firm on that legacy. Don't let it fall down. Be the men and women that God has called you to be. If your legacy has been rough, then guess what? You don't have to be a product of your environment. You have the choice to change things. And that's exactly what Joseph did. He settled his family in Goshen. It was one of the most fertile areas in Egypt, perfectly suited to the needs of herdsmen. It was also suited so that Israel could make a hasty exodus 400 years later. Joseph saw to it that his father and his entire family had everything they needed to survive and thrive. He was a blessing to them. Joseph respected his father and he respected the rest of his family. He chose to change the legacy. One of the things I thought was interesting with Joseph is that this land of Goshen was so far removed from the main town, and how he put them there so his entire family didn't have to endure the ridicule that they would have received if he would have just put them right smack dab in the middle of town, because they didn't like people from Canaan. And Joseph knew that. So he protected them constantly. I want to ask the band to come up. I've asked my son to sing a song. I want you guys to listen to the words of it. It's a calling for men to do the right thing. And if you're a mom without a husband in your home, listen.
I look around and see my wonderful life, almost perfect from the outside. In picture frames, I see my beautiful wife, always smiling, but on the inside, oh, I can hear her saying, lead me with strong hands, stand up when I can't. Don't leave me hungry for love, chasing things. But what about us? Show me you're willing to fight, that I'm still the love of your life. I know we call this I see their faces, look in their innocent eyes. They're just children from the outside. I'm working hard, I tell myself they'll be fine. They're independent, but on the inside, oh, I can hear them saying, lead me with strong hands, stand.
That's a call to have God help us as men to lead our wives the way we're supposed to. About 2 years ago, in one of my men's groups, I made a challenge that I hadn't been doing yet, but I've been doing ever since. And that challenge was, I challenged every man to start praying with their wives. And I've even talked to our leaders, and I've challenged them to. And I want to show you what it's like. And so I'm going to ask my wife to come up. Cindy and I pray at least 5 out of 7 days a week together. Almost every single morning before we go to work, we pray for each other. And this has been absolutely amazing. I've always known that my wife has loved me unconditionally, but I didn't know how much she appreciated the way I was leading our family spiritually until I heard her pray for me. And so before response time, we're going to pray for the response time. And I would like to have you guys listen. Let's bow. Dustin, is this on?
Okay,
let's pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for my husband, and I thank you for the leader that you've made him in our house. I thank you for the dad that he is to our sons and just the leaders that I see them becoming. Lord, I just lift up the men in this church that they would take something away from this message that you've placed in Andy's heart, that they would become leaders in their own homes. I pray for the young men who aren't dads yet and are on their way, that they would pick up the cross and that they would just really follow your lead and keep their eyes focused on you so that they can live that type of a rewarding life. I pray for the single moms here in the church who are raising kids on their own and having to fulfill both roles, that they would look to you, Lord, and that they would have you as the father in their life who will help guide them in leading their children towards you. And I thank you for the blessings that you've given us. I thank you for all that Andy has in his past, because it's made him the man that he is today. And I'm just very thankful that you've used it all and that he does keep his eyes focused on you. And just I pray, Lord, that you would help me to continue to show the respect and love to him so that he can continue to be the leader that he needs to be in our home.
God, I thank you for allowing me to be a part of Cindy's life. I thank you for the love that she has for you. I thank you for the respect that she shows me. I pray that you will bless her all day long and in the days to come. I thank you for what you're doing in her life. And I pray that the next 25 years of our marriage will be even better than the first 25. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. That's the beginning. It's not easy, guys. It was difficult when Cindy and I first started praying together. We felt very awkward because it was something outside of our comfort zone. But our prayer life has done wonders for us spiritually and physically. There's times that just because of circumstances, the alarm clock not going off on time, that we don't get an opportunity to pray together. And one of two things usually happen. Either I will text her and thank God for who she is, or I'll write her an email. And when she gets into work, 8-ish, she sees those things, and she appreciates those notes that I send to her. So, men, I'm throwing another challenge out there. If you haven't been praying with your wives, this song, lead them. Your wives want you to lead them. God wants you to lead them. There's no excuse. If you can't pray with your wife, you're missing the mark. There's going to be some response time, guys, and the band has some songs that they're going to play. And, you know, it may be that the Lord has spoken to you on some level of your life. If he has, you need to come to him right now. You need to ask God to help you wherever you're struggling. Maybe your relationship with your family needs work. Take care of it. Maybe your relationship with your parents, there might be some issues. Take care of them, guys. Don't wait. Maybe you need to get with your children and just let them know that they're loved. For all the dads and moms here today, if there's anything else, I want you to get this. I want you to make sure that you always take full responsibility for your actions. Don't blame somebody else. Take the responsibility. Think about your own family right now. It may appear that things are out of control in the lives of those you love and care for. But I would remind you that God has a plan. Anyone looking at Jacob's family would have said,
What's the use? These people are hopeless. The truth is, God was working all the time, and He is still working in your family too. Keep praying. Keep trusting the Lord to do the right thing. And keep walking right in front of the people you love. Walk out loud for Jesus. God has a plan for all of us. There's people that God wants us to touch. And if we're not walking upright and for God, then we'll never be able to touch them the way God wants them touched. We all have a responsibility. There's some notes in the back that Pastor Kurt printed out. Dads who did it right. I encourage every dad to go back and get one of those pieces of paper and read through it. Let's pray. God, I want to thank You for who You are. I thank You for loving us unconditionally. I thank You for wanting us to look to You for everything. That's one of the most difficult things for a man to do, is to get over his own pride. And I pray that every man here will be humbled before You and live their life the way You're calling them to live it. And I thank You for loving us unconditionally.